Welcome back to Dark Florida, the podcast where we explore eerie true crime, paranormal encounters, cryptid sightings, historical oddities, and the weirdest news across the Sunshine State and beyond. I'm your host, Brooke Moreland, and today we're diving into one of my favorite topics, Bigfoot and Dogman. I'm joined by Harley Owens, who has a unique perspective on both of these mysterious creatures. From hair-raising theories to firsthand accounts, this conversation goes deep into the shadows of the unknown. Before we jump in, here's a little bit about Harley. Harley Owens is a Sasquatch encrypted researcher from the mountains of eastern Tennessee. Owens had his first experience with Bigfoot on September 23rd, 2020. He captured some photographic evidence and the tracks associated with this occurrence. Harley was a non-believer and a skeptic prior to his encounter. It traumatized him so much that he stopped hunting and fishing for almost 3 years. Harley got tired of not being able to overcome his fear, so he decided to venture back into the woods on Thanksgiving of 2023. Since going back into the woods, Owens had several more encounters and experiences with Bigfoot, and has had an encounter with Dogman as well. And before we dive in, don't forget, if you're loving this show, wherever you're listening, if you could leave a 5-star review, it really helps the show. And you can follow Dark Florida on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast, or you can email me directly at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com if you've had a strange encounter or you want to be a guest on the show. Another way you can support the show is at buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. You can also be sure to follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/darkflorida411. Now, let's get into it. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Harley. I am really excited for our conversation.
Yeah, me too. You know, and we've kind of talked a little bit at the Great Florida Bigfoot Conference. It was great. You know, we had a great discussion about a lot of different things. And quite frankly, we didn't get to talk enough. And I wish I could have hung around a little further on the night investigation on Saturday, but I had to end up leaving and come back home. But that's just part of it. And we're going to get into some deep conversation tonight.
Absolutely. So could you tell me and the listeners a little bit about your background and what got you into the world of cryptids?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 25 years old from East Tennessee. I did not grow up believing in Bigfoot or anything like that. Only thing that I was really taught about growing up was Black Panthers. So I kind of believed they were out here. And funny story about that. Me and my dad were splitting firewood one night. I was but like 12, 13 years old, and we heard one scream, and my dad was like, get in the house now. So that was something that I've always known to be here. And I also had a sixth grade history teacher that was telling me about his encounter with one. Him and his girlfriend were driving up a road, and they said there was one right there in front of the road. The Bigfoot was the last thing on my mind. I graduated high school in 2018. And my dad wanted me to go to lineman school, and I didn't want to do it. I just wanted to get straight to work, and I went to work with my parents' neighbors. They own an auction company named Tri-State Auction and Realty, and what they done was they travel around all over the East Coast, auctioning off sawmills and things like that. We traveled everywhere, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, just anywhere. And September of 2020, we went up to Pound, Virginia. It's right on the Kentucky line. It's a pretty isolated place. It's right in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains. So the first thing that caught my attention whenever we got there was all the wildlife that was running around. There's deer and turkeys, and you know, it was just absolutely beautiful, beautiful place. Me and the boy I worked with, we got to talking to the owner of this place because her boss hadn't quite made it up there yet, and we were getting everything ready for a sale. And he was warning us about this bear that was rummaging around through the sawmill. And I got to ask him, I was like, is he a pretty good-sized bear? He's like, yeah. He said, but there's far worse things in the mountains than bears. And I'm just like, what in the world is he talking about? I was like, I bet they've got Black Panthers up here too. That was the first thing on my mind. I was like, I bet it's the Black Panthers. You know, I mean, yeah, there's coyotes and black bears and venomous snakes. You know, at my point in my time in life, I was like, it's Black Panthers. You know, Bigfoot was the last thing on my mind. So going on through that week, Garrett, nothing much really happened. We had an auction on a Saturday. My boss came up to me and was like, do you want to stay up here another week and help people load stuff that they bought? And he said, I can send these other guys on to another location. And I think it was in North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not 100% sure. But I told him, yeah. So Sunday rolled around, and I wasn't going to sit in a hotel all day. I was going to go out there and get to work and be ready. That way I could maybe leave earlier in the week for those that came pick up their stuff. I went out there. I hopped on the skid steer, and I started loading up some pallets, and I started throwing stuff on the pallets, and I was like, okay, all right, I got a lot done for today. So I just started walking around the wood line. And as I'm walking around the wood line, I find some peculiar tracks. And as I got to look at them, and I looked at my foot next to them, I'm like, well, that's a big foot. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, no, there ain't no way. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, there's somebody playing a trick on me, or this is just a big homeless person. And I'm just like, this is odd. I mean, this place is just, it's in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the mountains, this old sawmill. It's like two miles to get down into this place. And I'm just like, this is odd. Going on the next couple of days, Monday, nothing happened. Tuesday, nothing happened. And Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, that was the day that changed my life forever. I mean, 2020 was a crazy year for everyone, but 2020 was the year for me that I seen my first Bigfoot. I remember that morning. I was running late, and as I pulled up to the gate, the first gate that I had to get to unlock and go, there's two gates to get in this place. So I got to the first gate, and there's somebody there already waiting on me. I was like, great, I'm never going to hear the end of this. And so I unlocked that first gate, and we're going down through that holler, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, well, there's no wildlife in here this morning. There was no deer, no turkey, nothing. And I'm like, that was odd. So I get to that second gate, and I unlock it. And I get in there, and I parked where I wanted him to park at, and he didn't have but like two or three pallets. And so I loaded them up, and I threw him on his trailer, and he went on his way. So nobody else was in there for the rest of that day. So I'm just sitting there on a skid steer playing games on my phone. And I believe I was playing Angry Birds, if I'm not mistaken. About 1:30 rolled around, and I start to get hungry. So I got out of the skid steer, and I walked over to my Ford F-250 service truck and got in the cooler, grabbed a peanut butter sandwich and a Coke, and I heard a growlish grunt, and it was something I'd ever heard before. I was like, okay, that's odd, because I grew up hunting and fishing, and I know the sounds of the woods, and that was a sound that I had never heard. So I got to looking, and there was nothing, and I was like, okay. Well, I heard it again. And where I kind of positioned and where I was at, it was in this big flat, and there was two cliff faces on both sides of this valley. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, and I see something moving along top of that cliff face, moving through the foliage. And I'm like, okay, that's that bear. And as I kept watching it, it seemed off. And I was like, okay, this is a bear that's really big. And I remember looking down, and I looked back up. But when I looked down and looked back up again, that's when I seen it doing a peekaboo. It was peeking out from behind a tree and it would go hide. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's a Bigfoot. These things are real. People aren't crazy. And so I'm sitting there and I'm just losing my mind. And I'm like, I need to get a picture of this thing. Because as sure as I at that point in time, I was like, if I try to get a video of this thing, it's going to be gone. So I pulled out my camera. I had a brand new iPhone 8 Plus at the time. And I snapped the picture, and no joke, when I snapped the picture, the phone just completely shuts off. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't have a picture of this thing. And we're locking eyes with each other, you know. He's probably about 60, 70 yards away, but he's straight up from me on this cliff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing can get me right here. And it just turned around and walked further on up into the mountain. And I'm like, I got to get this phone back on. So I jumped in the truck, closed the door, locked the doors, and I'm sitting there trying to get this phone come back on. I plugged it up, just sitting there waiting, and it wasn't about 5-10 minutes after this thing was gone. The phone comes back on, and I went to looking through the pictures, and sure enough, I got it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got it. And so going on the rest of that day, I did not get back out of the truck. About evening time came around for me to leave. You know, I was finished. I was doing the paperwork that I needed to do, and I'm kind of wigging out. I'm trying to make sure this thing's not going to get me from the truck. And I remember I had the windows cracked just enough to where I could hear. And that's when these things started hollering. And I say these things now because I've had the audio analyzed, and there's more than one individual. And they were hollering back and forth, and it was unreal. And so Thursday came around. I got back out there, and I didn't get to work straight away. I was going to see if I could find any more footprints. And there was a game trail that led up to that ridge where that thing was at. And there was a trackway, and there was three really good tracks that I can make out. And you know how tall I am. And I mean, I done a step in between each track, and I couldn't even do it. And it was very, very insane. And so, you know, I'm sitting there wigging out about that. And then that evening they started hollering again, but they were about 15 minutes apart, and they sounded like they were further off, like they had moved away from that area. So I got the photo and videos of the footprints, and I also recorded all three sets of the sounds that I'd heard. Friday rolls around, and I'm leaving. I'm getting out of this place. I've had enough. And I remember stopping at this drive-in called Robo's, and there was three little old-timers sitting there. I was like, if anybody's going to know the answers, it's going to be these old dudes. So I just sat down and I struck up conversation, you know, telling them what I'd been up here doing and all that. And after a few minutes, I dropped the bomb. I said, "Your boys ever seen or heard anything strange up here?" And they all got quiet. And one of them said, "Well, what'd you see?" And I said, "This." And I showed them the picture, and I showed them the tracks. And then I let them listen to the sounds, and they all got quiet. And then the other one said, "Well, that's the devil monkeys." And I was like, "So that's a Bigfoot?" And they're like, "Yeah, devil monkeys, wood boogers, mountain giants, Bigfoots, all the same thing." And I'm like, "Well, that's all the validation that I needed." Little did I know that when I got home, you know, I figured I was going to show my family and friends, you know, and they would believe me. Boy, was I wrong. And I became the black sheep of the family. And so I stopped hunting and fishing for three very, very long years. And Thanksgiving of 2023, I decided to go back deer hunting. And I killed an 8-point, overcome what I thought was a fear of the Bigfoot. And since I started my research on December 7th of 2023, I've learned that there's a lot more out there.
When you say there's a lot more out there, what are you referring to?
Well, yeah, let's see. I've seen two dogmen now. I actually seen my first one on January 29th of 2024. And I actually just seen one Saturday, this last Saturday. Yeah, it was in a tree. I thought it was a bear. And then when it started doing some things, it was odd. That's when I realized that it was not a bear. So that was a very, very tough situation to be in, much less having my dogs there too. They had it up in the tree, and they were not letting it get out. And I had to get them out of there because there was more than one. Needless to say, I've found three-toed footprints that looks like something like a dinosaur. I've captured on film using my back trail camera that Scott Carpenter had used. I've captured things that look like reptilians or grays or whatever you want to call them. And there's a lot of strange stuff in the Smoky Mountains. I've found 18-inch claw marks on trees. I've found dogman tracks. I've found Bigfoot tracks. I've casted two Bigfoot tracks in my research area. But there's portal. I mean, I've got on my back trail camera, I got a portal manifestation. Like, there's 1 minute, if there's nothing but just shadows there. And then, like, the next frame, there's a perfect circle just sitting in the shadows. So, like, I've experienced and seen all the strange stuff, and it's just like, all of it is just intertwined and connected. It's like, it's all, you know, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, if I would have researched Bigfoot, I'd have probably told people they're crazy. But here I am now. I'm out here doing the research, you know, hiking miles and miles out in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and seeing and experiencing this stuff. And it's something that I love. And, you know, I kind of picked up the mantle where Scott Carpenter had left off. And me and his son Travis have since become good friends. And I'm just like, I'm just very, very fortunate, very blessed. And I'm thankfully on the right side of the dirt, and I haven't got myself unalived yet. My first dog man encounter, January 29th of 2024, that was a very dreadful experience. It chased me. And I actually have captured that same dog man on film. It was actually a month prior, on December 17th of 2023, I captured him on film on my back trail camera. But when you look into the eyes of the dog man, from the one that I've actually just sat there and like laid eyes to eyes with this thing, it's just dread. And, you know, it's like your life literally like flashes before your eyes. It's like a vision or something, like into your future. And it's just negative thoughts. And we never, me and my at the time, my stepdaughter's dad, we never seen it. But we knew we were being followed initially. He didn't know we were being followed at first. It was about 20 minutes after I noticed it started following us. He noticed it, and I told him it was following us. And I turned around, I took 3 pictures, and sure enough, in the second picture, this thing was standing in a creek bed that we pulled ourselves out of. And there was a kind of a vibe, you know, that it was following us. We could hear it, and it wasn't like the first one, but the one that I just seen a few days ago, there was a vibe there. It wasn't a bad vibe or anything like that. It's just a bad juju kind of vibe. It's not overwhelming, but it's like, you know, you're not the apex predator in the woods. I think some of them are absolutely natural. And I think some of them are interdimensional, and I think some of them may have a spiritualness to them, and then I think some of them are absolutely assets to the government or powers that be, or this is for entertainment purposes only. So, I mean, there's all these quote-unquote dog attacks or unknown animal attacks, missing 411. Prime example of this is the Joe Barber incident. He's driving a semi through the Manistee National Forest in Michigan, and this thing's chasing him in his semi, and he's trying to get his truck and get him, and he shoots it and alives it instantly. And he turns around and comes back, and there's people there in black suits, and they ended up telling him, you killed our asset, and we can make your life very miserable, and you know, all that stuff. So, like I said, some of them are naturally here, and some of them are interdimensional, and some could be spiritually. And I definitely think that a majority of them that are on our wildlife management areas are assets. There's nothing you can do about it. It's a corrupt operation. I mean, I can see why they keep it hidden, but I mean, at the end of the day, there's going to be a video that comes out, and you know, it'll be undeniable proof. But for as of right now, and the way that I stand on this is AI has come out with a purpose. And these cryptid sightings are on the rise more and more and more and more. And I think the AI has been made and has just come out for this exact purpose. And the Bible, it says in the end times, the beast and the beasts of the earth will be unleashed. There was a story that I had heard. I can't remember which podcast I'd heard it on, but there was these guys out, and they were about to be attacked by a dog man, and then this giant person appears with a sword and unalives this dog man. And the guys asked that guy. He said, "Well, what was that thing?" "Well, you guys call them werewolves, but we call them hellhounds or something like along the lines of that." I can't remember how it went exactly. Yeah, that guy was an angel, and he just, yeah, that's just it. I can't remember. I'll have to see if I can find it and send it to you. But it was wild.
You were touching on the Men in Black there. That's pretty scary. I remember the hearing that story and just being like blown away by his experience. Like, that is scary. Cause yeah, you're trying to like protect yourself and then you get in trouble for shooting one of their assets. It's a lose-lose situation. You're trying to fight for your life or you get in trouble with like this black ops project. It's like, what do you do? When you're out and you're investigating, I know you mostly look for Bigfoot, but do you think that they're coexisting in the same areas? Or are you finding that there's a higher concentration of dogmen in a specific area? Like you said, in the Smokies there, that definitely seems to be a hot spot. That Eastern Tennessee area seems to be, dogman sightings are on the rise there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the area that I've been in for, this December will make 2 years now. It definitely has a majority of Bigfoot, but a few weeks ago, when I had my buddy Jim up, we had found two different sets of dogman tracks. One the biggest one was 12 inches, and then the other one was like half of its size. So that was an adult and a juvenile. I wouldn't say they fight like they do, like, you know, you hear stories from Land Between the Lakes, you know, they're out there fighting and whatnot. These things have to, I would imagine, coexist, because why would two apex predators just benefit from just fighting all the time, you know, when they can have a mutual understanding of each other? And I mean, in all, I think they all have the same ancestral roots, you know, being from the Nephilim in some type or form or fashion, because, you know, the Nephilim weren't just the offspring of the fallen and human women, but they were the fallen just, you know, genetically experimented on animals and even plants.
That's something I haven't really gotten to dive into on the show that I have been wanting to, is the Nephilim. And especially when it comes to Dogman, when you look at the history, the historical side of it, and how in ancient Egypt, you have Anubis, the god of the dead and the god of the underworld, just how that ties in. We've heard about werewolves for centuries. I definitely think it's connected to something ancient.
I honestly think that all the Egyptian gods, all of these other gods, I think that they are Nephilim. It's a great deception is all it is.
The Ten Commandments, where it says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. I think that there's a part of that that we, because obviously you can make anything that you're putting before the Lord isn't right. But you almost wonder in that verse, if when he says no other gods, that these would be semi-gods, not saying that they have any sort of like power or anything like that, but they were worshipped back in the day. I think that's part of the reason probably why God flooded the earth then, is because they had been so corrupted and they were treating these watchers as if they were God, and they're not. Thou shalt not put any other gods before me. Maybe he's alluding to the Egyptian gods and things like that, that they do exist, but just not in the way that we think.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%. You know, and it talks about in the Bible, there's a verse that says, I think it is in Genesis 6:4, it says the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and thereafter. So there's more context into that, you know, that goes along with the verse that the beast and the beasts of the earth shall be unleashed. You have this all, you know, the biggest thing that really just kind of upsets me is, you know, they push this agenda that Bigfoot is this ancient ape or relic hominid or all that. You know, I used to be in that camp. You know, when I seen my first one, I used to think it was just the Gigantopithecus or something like that. But once I started getting out, doing the research, having these other experiences, seeing these other things, you know, seeing orbs, it definitely opened my eyes a lot further. And then I definitely started looking into the scripture more. I went to look at Cain, you know, because Cain was cursed to be a restless wanderer of the earth. And then, you know, Esau was born covered with red hair. And then, of course, you know, the Nephilim, the offspring of fallen angels and human women. And then when you look at the Sasquatch Genome Project, which Scott Carpenter had helped a lot with that, with hair samples from here in the Great Smoky Mountains, you know, the mitochondrial DNA of a Sasquatch is a human mother. And then, you know, the father is something completely unknown to science. I mean, there's no such thing as a coincidence. It's brought me a lot closer to the Lord. And like, I did. I got down and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, do I really need to do this? And he said, yes. He said, if they'll listen to you, they will listen. And if they won't, they won't. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'll take your word for it, Lord. I'm like, I'm not going to go against it. I'll do it, you know. And I'm like, I always, that's another thing. Like, my faith is the biggest thing for me. And like, I'm not a perfect Christian, and I'm not going to sit here and claim to be. You know, I have my flaws, and I know at the end of the day, I can ask for forgiveness and have a whole new day tomorrow. And I get to tell them, my parent, they never did accept this at first, and then now they're accepting it, and they're actually listening now. And like, and it's just, I'm just so grateful and thankful for that. And they support me for this now. And that my dad, he came up to me the other day, and he's like, son, you've really made a name for yourself. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, you doing all this Bigfoot stuff. He said, I seen you on YouTube the other day. I was like, well, thanks, Dad. I love meeting the people. And I love the fellowship. I won't push my beliefs on nobody. And I can only give the reasonings on why I think the way I think. And if people want to accept it, then that's fine. And if not, that's fine too. And, you know, and you can only do so much. And it's just a very, very tough subject to talk about, because, you know, you don't know where someone's faith lies, you know, and you don't want to come across the wrong way or anything like that. And so I just encourage people to have an open mind and accept the possibilities of Bigfoot being something much, much more than flesh and blood. And like, that's another thing. If you go into an area that's known for Bigfoot activity, there's going to be a lot of stuff happening there. You know, orbs, UFOs, dog men, just different things. And I'll tell you something that happened just a few weeks back when my buddy Jim came up. We were out there. The temperature gauge just skyrocketed. I mean, it said it was like in the 80s when it was in the 60s. And it was just so, so weird. So, like, you know, you have this, and that's something I'm working on now as a new theory, you know, the temperature will increase in that area. And it ties into the quartz and EMF fields and ley lines, all this stuff. So you have this massive, massive amounts of energy, you know, and energy, you know, it's electricity, it'll put off some heat. So, and there's a, you know, and that ties into these portals and these different frequencies and things like that. So it's hard to comprehend and wrap your mind around, but, you know, it's just hard to just wrap your brain around, you know, because I don't know much. I mean, I work on power lines, and, you know, and I'm trying to wrap my head around some things, and it's just like, I always end up having more questions than answers.
I think that's the thing with this field, is I always say, yeah, once you get one question answered, you have 10 more. That's definitely how it is. When you're out there, and I know you had touched on portals, and I love how you said the quartz, because I definitely, those are all conductors of electricity and energy. You ever get concerned that, one, for your safety while you're out there, and two, that maybe you're capturing things that weren't meant to be, or that the powers that be don't want to be seen? Have you ever had any experiences like that?
Yeah, I get concerned for my safety all the time, but from where I stand, there is spiritual power over these creatures, these beings. These things know their place, and they know who Jesus Christ is. And I always tell people this. I'm like, if you stay on the sidewalk, they can't get to you. But when you go off of the sidewalk, you're fair game. They're on a leash and they're waiting for their time. That's kind of when the shofar comes into play. And I've recently started looking into the shofar. The shofar is, you know, practically the voice of God. And if this is an excellent story, I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not, but Kumbo Baker and Mary Fabian, they were out and they played a shofar. And the next thing they know, right at the edge of the wood line was just a whole bunch of Bigfoot. And if you didn't know this also, the shofar is essentially a call to war. So there's no such thing as a coincidence. And that also ties into the end times, you know, the beast and the beast of the earth shall be unleashed. And then going on down to the government, I've captured a lot and I've posted a bunch of stuff. I've posted pictures and some video. It did not, the first month of doing research, it didn't do nothing, but it was after I had the dogman encounter January 29th of 2024, you know, I came out and I started talking about it. That's when things started cooking up. So it was a few months after I had seen that dogman. It was in April or I think, no, it was in May. It was in May. I went out to my research area. And there was a black SUV that was sitting at the end of the road that I lived on, and I was getting ready to pull out onto the four lane. And no joke, as soon as I had pulled out onto the four lane, they came in right behind me. So I ended up losing them. Just a few months after that, I had sold my truck. And no joke, that same night, that guy called me. He said, "Dude, what did you do?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I've got four unmarked SUVs sitting at the end of my driveway." Come to find out, they bugged the truck. And then there was another instance that it was in, I believe it was end of May or beginning of June. I was heading out to my research area, and the only way into my research area is just this little old gravel road. And I remember coming in there and I seen a white truck with a white trailer sitting there. And I was like, "What? This is odd." You know, this white unmarked Chevrolet truck. Tinted out, brand new, and it had a white trailer hooked up to it that said Talon on the side of it in red letters. And I was like, well, that's odd. So, and they were sitting there for like 2 or 3 days. I couldn't get in there. And I looked up what Talon was, and they're a mineral company. But here's the funny thing, Brooke. They're associated with NASA, and there's no such thing as a coincidence. No such thing as a coincidence. You know, NASA knows about the portals. NASA monitors the portals, and it's just like there's no such thing as a coincidence in this.
That's really interesting, and it's always a brand new vehicle. I was at a property here in Florida that has known portal activity. The owner of that property, she was, because they've seen the dire wolves. First, it started off with the Sasquatch activity. They were having it come right up to their house, and they got a really great handprint on their glass from this thing. Plenty of things were happening. They were finding dead animals and things like that, like on their porch, and just all these different things were happening. But it seemed like the activity was definitely ramping up, and they've seen the crawlers there. And then they got the grounds tested for the minerals and stuff. And turns out that they're sitting on a gold mine of quartz. The electric company kept coming out, right? And this is the end of a private road. And she said that they kept coming out in this real new, nice white truck and brand new, but it didn't have any logos on it. No electric company logo, nothing. And all the dudes, she said, looked the same. They were all in fresh uniforms, and they all looked very similar, like hard to tell them apart. And she said that they were out there every few weeks. And so finally, she was just like, "Hey, like, what are you guys doing?" And they're like, "Oh, we're checking on the transformer." And it was that time that she had talked to them when she said she experienced a loss of time. She kind of came to, and she was in the salon in the hairdresser's chair, kind of just like starry-eyed. And she's like, "How did I get here? Like, I don't remember getting here. How long have I been here?" And the hairdresser was like, "You came in and you were like in a daze."
It's sorry that they do that. It's like sooner or later, I don't see it happening, you know, but they come out with UFO disclosure and all that. And Tucker Carlson, he said it a while back that, you know, they're demonic and they come out of the ocean. Space launch they did the other day. Like, there was a part of it. Now, I was sitting there watching it on live TV when they came back down and they landed. I was sitting there, the door popped open. Then a few minutes later, Jeff Bezos comes over there and acts like he's unlocking the door. That was a huge red flag for me. I was like, "Well, so what did they, what?" I mean, I don't know, man. It's all deception. Another thing that I've been thinking about too, along with the UFO stuff, these people have all been abducted by aliens. No, it's going to be the rapture. It's all a deception.
Someone asked me at the conference just about the government cover up. And I was like, yeah, I think they know about it and that these things have been around for a really long time. I mean, you're in a prime location. I mean, Appalachian Mountains are the oldest in the world.
Yeah, they're ancient and sacred. They are the oldest mountains, and they're full of a lot of secrets. Kind of going back to portals here, I just don't think they go through different dimensions. I think they go to different times. My good friend Jessica Jones, the cryptid huntress, she got a report not too long ago out of Georgia about somebody seeing what looked like a velociraptor. And then I actually got a report from Gatlinburg, and they said they weren't the only people that seen this, but they said it looked like a pterodactyl flying in and out of traffic.
I wonder if that goes back to the indigenous thunderbirds.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. If you go up to the Ark Encounter up in Kentucky, they showed that dinosaurs were on the Ark. They didn't put full-grown dinosaurs on the Ark. They put babies. It's amazing to be there and it's just learn all the history behind the Ark and everything. It's so cool. I never did know. I never did think that dinosaurs were on the Ark. And then that changed my outlook on everything. I'm like, what if they fell and maybe caused a little bit of extinction? But then, of course, Noah's flood came. Some of the dinosaurs did survive. It's some of history is just fabricated to kind of steer us off course a little bit.
That was such a great conversation with Harley. A huge thank you to him for coming on and sharing his insight, experiences, and theories. I will have all of Harley's links in the show notes, so be sure to check those out and give him a follow. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to give Dark Florida a 5-star review wherever you're listening, and follow us on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast for behind-the-scenes content and plenty of updates. Do you have a story of your own or want to be a guest? Shoot me an email at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/darkflorida411 for investigation footage, extra episodes, and more. Until next time, stay curious, stay strange, and keep it Dark Florida.